from APM in New York. I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton delivered a speech in Denver, Colorado, saying she would make technology and innovation pillars of her plan to grow the U.S. economy.
We're going to let young people who want to start something new defer your federal student loan payments for up to 3 years.
Clinton there talking about one of many components in a 14-page document that proposes investment in science and tech. Granted, when you are running for president, you get to do a lot of blue sky thinking, saying how you're going to change the world without really having to go into details like how to pay for it all. Here to tick off some of the other things on Clinton's wish list with us is senior tech reporter for Politico, Tony Rahm. Hi, Tony. Thanks for chatting.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Break it down for me. What is Hillary Clinton promising to do here?
There are a couple of big ticket items. First, Hillary Clinton spent a lot of time in Denver talking about her plan to bring high-speed broadband to all Americans by the year 2020. Second, she talked about defending net neutrality, the idea that all internet traffic should be treated equally. And third, she gave a bit of a shout-out to encryption, recognizing that there still has to be a conversation about the balance between technology, privacy, and law enforcement.
How much of this is campaign trail rhetoric and how much of it might turn into actual policy?
You know, Clinton's going to have a bit of a tough sell if Congress remains in Republican hands. There's, you know, usually little appetite here in Congress when it comes to spending on broadband, for example.
Is it common for candidates to release tech platforms these days?
Increasingly, it's becoming common for candidates to talk about technology issues because they've just risen so much in prominence. But I will add, though, that Clinton is the only candidate right now that has a plan like this.
I was going to ask you how many pages the Donald Trump plan is.
Well, that plan would be zero pages because Trump hasn't put out anything comprehensive on tech policy. There's just been a few scattered mentions of those issues. And other than that, Trump has directed his fire at Silicon Valley. He's criticized folks like Apple CEO Tim Cook and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
Yet at the same time, Apple's Tim Cook hosted a fundraiser for Paul Ryan this week, right?
For tech companies, they have to play both sides of the aisle. You know, Tim Cook realizes that Paul Ryan, as the most powerful Republican in the U.S. House right now, is important as the company wants to get things done on encryption or address longstanding issues in the tax code. You know, there is some hesitancy there, but folks like Tim Cook recognize that you've got to play both sides of the aisle to get things done here.
Tony Rahm, senior tech reporter for Politico, following the Clinton campaign and others. Tony, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a long ways away, but when we actually do get down to the voting part, UConn political science professor Paul Herndson will be paying attention to a whole different set of tech issues, including voting technology, like those ATM-style voting machines.
They make it difficult to commit an error. It makes it impossible to vote for more than one candidate. That all being said, voters tend to prefer paper ballots. They have a greater sense of trust in paper.
We like paper, too, but we prefer the digital, so we posted a look at the state of America's voting machine technology and how outdated it is at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Magic Mike's Channing Tatum, and this week Google's Sundar Pichai. What do these people have in common? They have all apparently been hacked by a group calling itself Our Mine. You remember maybe that hackers denote their intentions by saying whether they are good or not with metaphorical hats, white hat for good, black hat for bad, etc. Well, Andy Greenberg at Wired Magazine talked to members of this hacking group. Andy, who are these Our Mine guys?
They seem to be a team of hackers, and they tell me that there are three of them. They wouldn't tell me where they're based. And they have been on a spree of hacking tech executives' Twitter accounts, mostly. They've hit Mark Zuckerberg, Dick Costolo, the former CEO of Twitter, the CTO of Amazon. And then on Monday, they got one of their biggest targets, which was the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai.
Among the rainbow spectrum of white hat, black hat, red hat, gray hat, where do they fall?
Well, it's very confusing, and I think that even they may be a little confused about what sort of hat they're wearing. They, in the past, I think, have been more straight-up black hat hackers, just hacking targets for fun and embarrassing them and Now they are also selling security services. They, for $5,000 PayPal transaction, will, they say, do an audit of your company. And all of these hacks of tech executives, they're sort of posing them as just advertising for that supposedly white hat kind of security service. But it's kind of a questionable arrangement. They are anonymous. They're breaking the law. They haven't actually proved to me either that they have any actual customers. They did send me a screenshot of some PayPal transactions from some companies, and I checked into one and it was fake, and they admitted that to me afterwards.
These hackers seem to be targeting high-profile targets, but is there a lesson here for the rest of us?
Well, definitely. I mean, you don't have to pay these guys $5,000 to learn the lesson that you shouldn't, for instance, reuse passwords, which it looks like is how they might have hacked Mark Zuckerberg. One of his passwords leaked for his LinkedIn account, and then he used the same one for a Twitter account. You shouldn't reuse passwords. You should use two-factor authentication, which can protect your account, even if your password leaks. And you should think about which of your accounts are linked to each other so that, you know, maybe you're not thinking about the security of your Quora account and you are thinking about the security of your Twitter account, but it only takes one weak account that's linked to another one, and what you thought was a secure account, like your Twitter feed, can also be compromised.
Andy Greenberg, he is senior staff writer for Wired Magazine. Andy, thank you very much.
Well, thanks a lot, Ben.
And we rarely talk about patent news of the now because it's usually destined to become news in real life. Oh, about never. But if you are one of the people who does this, as in recording or posting pictures or video of live concerts like that one with fans singing along to the performance of Mac DeMarco, well, I have some bad news for you. Looks like Apple has been granted a patent that would disable photo and video recording capabilities in specific places like concert venues or movie theaters. Granted, I like standing behind a raised smartphone at a concert even less than someone who is 7 feet tall, but I'm not sure I want my phone enforcing the rules either. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.